About now, can you hear me? Now you can hear me. So, good morning, everyone. That's what a great morning it is. Starting to cool off a little bit. Great walking weather. Well, I enjoyed my walk yesterday. And I'm looking forward to my walk today. And so let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, can't wait to see what you have in store for us in your kingdom. You know, we get these visions, we have these thoughts in our minds about what it's going to be like. And thank you so much for giving us a little insight into you, into the world, into the life we're going to lead and worship to you. And you help us to see and to imagine and to use the imagination you gave us, Lord, to understand your scripture, but also apply it correctly. And that we can gather information and learn from it and get excited about it, Lord. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Where'd my notes go? So we're going to finish up chapter 45 today. Actually, I'm actually going to start in verse 9. I should have put 9 up there instead of 10. So let's get rid of that stuff. And I found this really neat picture of what might be a better looking temple design as a 3D effect than the one I've been showing. That is going to be quite a grand, you know, this is God's shining moment. He's back on the earth. He's going to have something a little bit, a little bit of a gold touch to it, not so mechanical looking. It might even look not even close to this. But this would picture look kind of a little bit more grander. And I think there's actually going to be, you see my little cursor there, lots of wide open spaces. There's going to be a lot of us coming here to worship, if you think about it. Just the Christians, just the body of Christ alone is going to be in the millions. And we're going to be coming here on a regular basis. And then along with all the Jews that are going to be coming. And then as the 1,000 years goes on, all the people having families and coming to visit the temple and worship the Lord, it's just going to be a lot of people. Not sure how he's going to organize everything yet. I'm sure he's got that all planned out. And maybe this is going to be a really big place, maybe even bigger. Well, we went through the dimensions, so you know how big it is. So let's start and jump into some verses here. And where is my verse thingamajiggy? There it should be. And so we're going to start up in Ezekiel 45:9. And here we're going to, I label this a worship in the Millennium Kingdom, and this is really talking about the princes. And we've been back and forth a little bit on this princes idea, and we talked a little bit about that area that's going to be for the prince. But in this verse, we see the actual word princes of Israel. So that, and there are verses that talk about that each tribe of the of Israel will have a prince over it. Of that particular tribe. It doesn't really give any names. It does in the Old Testament, in the original ones, as the leaders of those different tribes. And typically they were descendants of whatever son was the direct descendant of that particular tribe. Like, for instance, tribe of Judah would be a descendant of Judah. And it all the way down through the line. So this area that's allocated for the prince. Now the prince we already identified as being David, but he may be a prince of princes. I guess is a way of putting it. And each tribe will have a prince, and maybe they're allocated an area that's within. As I commented before, that area is quite large for the prince. So let's continue on here. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from the people, saith the Lord God. So these princes' job is to make sure that their tribes that they learn the ways of the Lord, and that they realize that they will not tolerate, the Lord will not tolerate any kind of a violence and spoil, and that they're in charge to make sure judgment and justice is done in a righteous, godly way, as pertained by the Lord God. The Millennium Kingdom is going to be ruled and reigned, as we've talked about, by the Lord Jesus with a rod of iron. So he's not going to take any messing around. And that judgment will be swift. It'll be righteous. It'll be truthful. We won't have to worry about hung juries and sneaky lawyers. And the Lord knows it all, and that he'll be able to pass on the correct interpretation of any kind of insurrection from the people. I'm talking about suffice here, it says, take away, let it suffice you. And talking about suffice, so in Ezekiel 44, 6 and 7, we mentioned this yesterday. Now shall say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. It's just a reminder that the Lord is not going to tolerate insurrection, particularly in his house, and that justice will be swift. So moving on to verse 10, that's where we pick up for today. Now we're going to talk about the actual worship and what's going to be required by some of the worshipers. Here it says, you shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath. Now these are measurement tools. An ephah is a dry measure, and the bath is a liquid measure. And we'll look at a couple of verses on this in Leviticus 19:36. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Also in Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balances are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are his work. So what he's driving at here is that when it comes to these weights and measures, no skimping. I expect you to bring in the correct amount, and that it'd be not be try to shave off any amount, and he'll be watching. And just to get an idea, what the ephah is, a dry measure, it's about 3 pecks and plus 5 quarts is about what it's equal to. A peck, I had a picture of it, it's over here. I'll give you an idea. Okay, let me bring this over real quick. That's a half a peck. Okay, I'll give you an idea. So two of those would be a peck. I'll give you an idea what a peck is. And so three of the, so it'd be 6 of those bags plus 5 quarts. And you know what a quart is. That's about, well, 5 quarts would be about a little over a gallon. Is what is equal to an ephah. And then a bath is equal to 8 gallons plus 2 quarts. So basically about 8.5 gallons. As we're going to see here in this next verse, that a bath is equal to an ephah, and between dry and liquid measure, they're both equal approximately. We're going to see it, and we saw a term there that talked about, we're going to get to the next verse, never mind. So one more verse on this subject, on Isaiah 5:10. Ye 10 acres of vineyard shall yield 1 bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. So I give you an idea, 10 acres of a vineyard. So 1 bath, so each acre of a vineyard typically will yield about 8 gallons, 8.5 gallons of wine. And so that'll give you an idea of what a bath is. And the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. So we'll talk more, a little bit more about that here in a minute. Okay, on to Ezekiel 45:11. The ephah in the bath shall be one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of a homer, and the ephah the tenth part of a homer. The measure thereof shall be after the homer. Now, a homer is actually a much larger amount. One homer is 75 gallons and 5 pints is what it comes out to. So it's saying here that it's about the tenth of a homer is what a bath or an ephah is. So again, we're back to about 7.5, 8 gallons, somewhere in there. And a shekel, now we're going to talk about money. And I didn't break it down quite as well on this, but just that, again, these are requirements of sacrifice for the temple. In other words, these are offerings to the temple. And a shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mena. This was a way, if you were to take 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels, and put them on a scale and weigh them, it will equal a mena. And that's how you can verify the shekels with a proper weight. That's all it's trying to say there. Verse 13. This is the oblation that ye shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of wheat, and ye shall give the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of barley. Concerning the ordinance of oil, the bath of oil, you shall offer a tenth part of a bath out of the core, which is a homer of 10 baths. For 10 baths are a homer. So you got to do. So you got to bring 1/10 of a bath. That's about 7.5 gallons, as we've mentioned before. And then on top of that, add one lamb of the flock out of 200. So if your flock has, for every 200 lambs, you're going to bring one lamb out of the fat pasture of Israel for a meat offering and for a burnt offering and for a priest offering. Make reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God. 45:16. And all the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince in Israel. So every person is going to bring this to the prince of Israel during the feast times. And I think when the general idea I'm getting here is that the prince and his servants, I guess, are going to prepare all this, and that basically the entire nation is going to feed off of it. So this will give you quite a feast. Now, I can imagine that the wedding supper of the Lamb is going to be something along this lines also. Something you don't realize yet is that all these different areas you see, like see where I'm pointing here, and all around the outskirts, are different boiling and baking stations. They're all kind of places to prepare food and things. So as I've always heard one of the commentary say is that the Lord is a man after my own heart. He loves food. And I think we're going to enjoy lots of great feasts with the Lord. I always love the pat, you know, when we read after his resurrection. Every single time you see the Lord after the resurrection, from the grave, he eats, and he makes breakfast for everybody down on the beach, and I can imagine that life is going to be quite a bundleful of fellowship and meal times, enjoying one another's company. We'll work hard, we'll play hard, you know, we'll fellowship hard, good food, good people. Oh, going to be awesome. So talking about see, where am I? We're talking about verse 16 here, talking about giving oblations. We look back to Exodus 30, 40, and 15 talks about this. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their souls. So you can see that this particular tradition has gone all the way back to the beginning, and that the Lord is basically in this temple period is going to be teaching a whole new generation what the people originally, as more of a memorial of what their people group, the Jews, should have been doing all along, he's going to require them to do it with an honesty. And that's where he talks about the measure of the shekel of the bath of the ephod has to be accurate. There's no cheating. And I think it's important that he's going to teach the people the way they should know and how to be honest about all their dealings. Okay, 45:17. It shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths. So we can see the different times he's going to be doing this. The prince's part is to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths. And all solemnities of the house of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering. Oh, I just realized you can't see it all. Let me get my bigger version. Oh, it's here somewhere. I just can't fit enough stuff on my screen. Okay, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. And it shall be to give a prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and all solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. So talking a little bit about the princes, back in Ezekiel 46, 4 through 12, it talks about who the princes are. And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish. A meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, and a meat offering for the lamb as he shall be able to give, and a hin of oil to an ephah. And the day of the new moon it shall be a young bullock. So you can see that each festival has a different requirements. It shall be a young bullock without blemish. Now, what without blemish is important too, and I know the Lord is going to be very specific about that. It's important that it's the correct. I couldn't help when I was reading this, thinking about back all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You remember that the Lord required sacrifice be made, and talking to Adam and Eve's first two sons, you know, Cain and Abel, and required a sacrifice. And of course, Abel brought the correct offering, as he should have, the a lamb without blemish. But Cain wanted to be a little bit, not go the way the Lord had told him. And this might be symbolic of even going into the Millennium Kingdom. There's going to be people that want to do it their way, instead of the Lord's way. And so I think that's why the Lord is being very, very specific here as to what each festival will require. In the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bullock without blemish and 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. And he shall prepare a meat offering and an ephah for a bullock and an ephah for a ram and for the lambs according as his hand shall attain unto and a hin of oil to an ephah. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of the gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof. But when the people of the Lord shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. That's why I wanted to bring up this particular one. Let me finish reading this and I'll show you. Shall go out by the way of the south gate, and he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came, but shall go forth against it. So I think this temple would kind of show a better representation. So basically, these are the people. We'll go in this gate. You see my little cursor. And they'll go through this gate. And they'll come and they'll probably come up here and worship the Lord. And they'll be leaving and going out by the north gate. And then there'll be people over here coming in from the north gate, single file, probably, coming in here and coming up and worshiping to the Lord and leaving by the south gate. So that's what the verse is basically saying. So I can see it's going to be quite a long procession on those feast days when people come to visit with the Lord. Okay, 46 verse 10. And the prince in the midst of them, when they shall go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. We're going to go through this again, starting probably tomorrow, actually, because it'll be in chapter 46. And the feast and the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock, and an ephah to a ram, and to the lambs, as he is able to give a hin of oil to an ephah. Now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering, or a peace offering, voluntary unto the Lord, so I guess there'll be times when the prince just feels in the mood to honor the Lord, that he'll bring an offering. One shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east, and just as a review, this is the east gate here. We know that the prince David is going to be residing in the porch of this gate, which will be over in this area here. And so on this particular occasion, they'll be allowed to open this door to allow the prince to come in this way. And I finish up what I was saying there. Prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he, as he did on the Sabbath day, then he shall go forth, and after he's going forth, one shall shut the gate. Okay. We'll review that again with probably tomorrow. We're getting to chapter 46. Okay, back to Ezekiel 45:18. Thus saith the Lord God, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. So there's going to be some cleaning going on too. This would be like a ritual cleaning to remove any sin from the temple is what it's basically symbolizing. Because first they have to cleanse the temple before sacrifices can be made. And it sounds like they're going to do this on the first month or the first day of the month each year. And we see this also in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, it is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. But if you remember back to Leviticus when this all started, nothing's really changed that much. Back to Ezekiel 45:19. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so they shall do the seventh day of the month for everyone that erreth. And for him that is simple, so shall ye reconcile the house. It's an interesting term that those who are simple. And talking about those that erreth, over in Leviticus 4:27, it talks about this. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, I think that's what they mean by erreth, is that they sin and don't really know that they're sinning. Well, he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty. Or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. Verse 21. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, he shall have the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. I bet you this is going to be a big festival. Passover usually is, even with the Jews today. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And by, I might mention also that when we were talking about the first month, first day of the month, that actually relates to the in our calendar, which is the Gregorian calendar, to March, April timeframe. So that's where we get the Easter time frame. That's actually considered the month of Nisan, which is the first month in the Jewish calendar. Okay, back to verse 21. Over in Leviticus 4:14, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. So as soon as he realizes that he sinned, he needs to come and make atonement for it. Okay, back to Ezekiel 45:23, finishing up here. In 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish. Daily is 7 days, and a kid of the goat daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the 7th month, and the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of 7 days, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offering, and according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. So that is the first part of, we'll continue with some of the worship rituals that will be happening around the temple. And as I've commented a few times before, it's really hard for me to know exactly where we're going to fit in. It'd be exciting to find out when, because again, most of this is talking about the Jewish nation and what they're going to be doing. But we know that we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ during this time. And I've still got me very, very curious exactly what we're going to be doing, as I'm sure that we'll be involved with this portion of it somehow, but I'm not sure exactly how, because it doesn't really talk about it in Ezekiel. Because the church, the bride of Christ, wasn't even talked about in the Old Testament. There's hints of it, but there's no real talk about exactly everything that's going to be going on when it comes to us. So it'll be exciting to find out. And maybe as we further into this study, we'll get more hints. Well, end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's exciting to know that you got such big plans for us, and oh, I'm excited to find out exactly how we're going to fit in, and excited to know exactly what you have planned for us. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I hope to see you. I hope to talk to you again tomorrow. We'll get back into chapter 46. And I thought I might mention too that after this, I always play for anyone who might be watching that does not know the Lord, doesn't know anything what we're talking about, doesn't know the Lord as a Savior. It's important that you need to reach out to the Lord and know, and be able to join us in this new millennium kingdom that we're going to be privy to. And that there's a video that will show up after this that will actually help to explain how you too can join the church, as the body of Christ, and become a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. So take a look at that video, read the verses, pray about it, and seek the Lord's guidance to become a child of God. And that if you need more help with that, if you're somebody that is searching for a church, and you're in the Florence, Arizona area, Florence Baptist Church on Willow Street is where I'm from, and where this and we welcome you to come to services. We have a Wednesday service at 6 p.m. and our Sunday services are 9 a.m. for Sunday school, 10 a.m. for Sunday worship service, and at 5 p.m. for evening service. So please join us if you're new to the area. Again, we're on Willow Street. It's in the old part of Florence. And we look forward to seeing you. And for all the others, have a great day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.